Satan can never undo God's truth. He can never undo Christ. He can never undo your salvation. What does that mean as you go through the battle? It means that you have everything that you need to go through without concern that the world will somehow dislodge you from your security in Christ. It's impossible.
To be strong in faith is to translate a belief in biblical truth into action and behavior. And we'll learn more about that strong faith on this edition of the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, Strong for the Battle. Last time, Don gave us the first of three practical points to remember to underscore the strength God has already bestowed upon believers. Above all, we must always affirm our confidence in Christ. Once we do that, we come to realize the resulting responsibility on our part, and we also rest in ultimate victory over spiritual foes. More on that today. So be sure your Bible is open to Ephesians 6 as we join our teacher right now in the Truth Pulpit.
We're coming out of an age over the past 50 or 60 years where you could comfortably have one foot in Christ, so to speak, and one foot in the world, and you didn't have to choose sides. We're not going to have that option. That option is over for us. And so we take on the armor of God. We consciously rely on Christ. We realize that we are united by faith with Him. And what He has done is our future. What has He done? He's overcome the world. He went through death. He triumphed. He ascended on high. Those of us that are in Him, the same kind of victory is assured for us. What you do to live in a world like this is you affirm your confidence. You settle it in your mind. You take yourself at hand. You preach to yourself. You look at yourself in the mirror and say, these things are true. And this, you say to your soul, this is what you will live by. This is what will shape your perspective on everything. I stake it all on Christ. I stake it all on His Word. And I won't be moved. You affirm your confidence in Christ. You take up that shield. Secondly, what else do? You acknowledge your responsibility. Point number two, you acknowledge your responsibility. First of all, you affirm your confidence in Christ. And secondly, you have to acknowledge your responsibility. Honestly, in light of what God has revealed to us in Scripture generally, in Christ, and even in this particular passage that we're looking at in Ephesians, there is no excuse for you and me to be weak. There is no reason for us to shrivel back in fear. And what you have to realize is that that realm of confidence is your responsibility to enter into, to feed it, so that your soul lives in that realm, rather than the realm of fear and doubt. Beloved, you must and you can engage this spiritual battle with a wicked, unseen spiritual foe in a world environment that is hostile to everything that you and I hold dear. You are able to engage that battle with an expectation of spiritual success, with the fact that you will prevail in the midst of this, that you will overcome, just as Christ called you to. Look at verse 16, and I love the simplicity of the observation that we are about to make together about God's Word. Ephesians 6, verse 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which, look at it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You will be able. Now, point of grammar here for you. This verse, this participle, taking up the shield of faith, is a supporting element of the central command of the text to stand firm. Look at verse 14 with me, just to keep you acquainted with the primary structure and the main verbs of the text. Verse 14 says, stand firm, therefore. It's a command. It's an imperative that you are responsible to obey every bit as much as you are other commands in Scripture. You are commanded to stand firm. That's the central command. And when Paul says, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet, taking up the shield of the faith, these are the things that enable you to carry out that central command of standing firm. Can I show you something simple in the text? You know what? The Bible does not command God to stand firm. Scripture commands you to stand firm. You have a responsibility in the midst of this that you are to recognize, undertake, and do. You are the one to stand firm, meaning this, that you, oh beloved, you are responsible to take what God has given and develop a sanctified mind and an obedient life no matter what else happens. You are to take this up. You are to do this. This is your responsibility. And unless you have your nose in this book, you're falling short. Somehow this book has to be the most precious thing in your life for this to be true about you, for you to be able to stand firm like this. And the command comes and says, stand firm, take up the shield of faith. And you say, perhaps you might say this, you say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm too weak. I'm too scared. I'm too discouraged. And the biblical response to that statement from a Christian is this: nonsense. That's not true. You are not too weak for whatever you're facing. You are not too weak to go through this evil, wicked world courageously, standing out as a light of the world, a light to the world, standing out as a representative of Christ. And I want you to notice this. Look at verse 16 with me again. The simplest things open up the most wonderful depths of what it means to be a Christian. Paul says that when you take up the shield of faith, you will be able to do this. You know what? That's not a conditional statement. It's in the indicative mood. In other words, it is a statement of reality. It is a statement of fact. Paul isn't saying it might work out, as if he had used a subjunctive there, as if he were dealing in hypotheticals about ideals that only a few attain to, but most of the rest of us fall short of. Paul says, when you take up this shield of faith, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Look at it, beloved. Look at the text with me. Paul, when he says, you will be able, you do have this capacity. God has equipped you to live in just this way. Beloved, he's declaring confident facts, not wishful hypotheticals. Whether you feel it or not is not the point of this passage. The point is that these elements of the armor of God are, by definition, by God declared reality, by God declared intention, sufficient for you to live out the Christian life with serenity, with confidence, with courage, no matter what comes. And so, even in this world, even in your life, even in your weakness, God has made you able. God has given you what you need, and you're to take it up. As you sit here, it should be dawning on you, if it hasn't already, I have to respond to this. I have to live this way. The danger is too great for me to lay down my shield in battle. It's obvious that I will take in mortal wounds if I don't take this seriously. It also does this. It takes away all of your excuses of being a weak, whimpering Christian in the midst of battle, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of hardship. There is no excuse for that, beloved. Why? Because God has given you what is necessary for you to be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Look back at verse 13. He used the same language up there too, didn't he? Verse 13, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. You're able. That faith, that kind of conquering heroism in the Christian life comes with you starting by affirming your confidence in Christ and in God's revelation about Him, and then acknowledging your responsibility to respond. Stated negatively, to not make excuses for your sin, for your weakness, for your unbelief. You take yourself in hand and say, that's not acceptable. I'm not going to live that way. That's not the kind of Christian that God called me to be. Because you're able to stand. You're able. Look at it. You will be able. A revealed word from God that what He has given you in Christ is sufficient for the day and age in which you live. And so, you know, we stop making excuses for ourselves. We stop saying things like, this is too hard. We stop getting all worked up about, I can't believe that they did this. They went another degree further. Of course they did. What do you expect from an evil, wicked world? You know, this world is unfair to Christians. You know what? Of course it is. It's hostile. It's going to play every advantage against us that it can. So what? So what? So what? The people to feel sorry for here, people to feel sorry for in this is not ourselves. The people to feel sorry for are those who are lining themselves up with the agents and spirits of doom. Because the outcome of this is assured, no matter what the temporary back and forth may be in the world. So, I ask a final question. Can you really prosper spiritually in a world like this? Is that really possible? Or is this just some kind of motivational thing that can't really succeed in real life? He's overstated the promises of God. You know, the only thing I do is understate them. The only thing that my words do is fall short of the glory and the confidence that it deserves. Haven't overstated anything. And based on the clear terms of the text itself, point number three, write this down. Burn it into your mind. Brand it as that which defines your existence and your expectation about everything in the future, in this life and in the life to come. We have said that you affirm your confidence in Christ because of the armor of God that He's given to you. You acknowledge your responsibility. Ah, I have to take it up. I have to think about these things. I have to let this shape my world perspective and manifest confidence in them even when it's difficult. Thirdly, you anticipate complete victory. You anticipate complete victory. You fear no evil. Isn't that what Psalm 23 said? Just basic scriptures that we think we know, but we don't live by. David said in Psalm 23, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Well, is that the mark of the Christian church today in the hostile environment in which we live? Are we marked by no fear of evil? You tell me. For you, individually, personally, no matter what other Christians are doing, you, my friend, my Christian friend, my brother and sister in Christ, you can rise up and be a man or woman of God like this. You can look to the future knowing that Christ is sufficient in all things, for all things, without exception, without doubt, without any concern that your confidence in Him will somehow be found to be misplaced. Scripture says repeatedly, he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. And when you look at this very text, verse 16, some of the simplest words lay it all out for you in a way that you cannot miss. Verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All of them. Flaming arrows pictures the various attacks that Satan uses against us. Drawing upon that metaphor of first century warfare that I alluded to earlier, where flaming arrows are shot at the soldier as he upholds his shield against them. And whatever, here's the thing, beloved. Here's why you should walk out of this room with a supernatural confidence about the future in your life and in the ultimate conquest of Christ. Whatever the attack may be, if it's in all of those powerful realms of the world that I alluded to earlier, whether it's in the false revelation and false righteousness that false teachers try to deceive us with, whether it's you being tempted to ungodly thinking and behavior, whether it's you feeling the ground on which you stand being undermined with doubt and despair, whether, as it was for many of our brethren in centuries gone by, Satan instigating lethal persecution against those who name the name of Christ. Whatever the realm may be, lots of different arrows being shot at you. Fear of persecution, doubts, false teaching, hostile world, fractured relationships, impending death, uncertainty about what's going to happen in your own life situation. Consistent arrows incoming. Beloved, don't you see what Scripture says here? What God has equipped you with? Look at it. In all of those various devices, all of those things designed to undermine you, to mortally wound you, to make you a casualty on the field of faith, Paul says, what God has given you in His revelation, the righteousness of Christ and your reconciliation with Him, is sufficient for you to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, every single one. Look at it, beloved. Even though these arrows are fired at you with supernatural power by a supernatural destroyer, a sadistic deceiver, what God has already given to you in Christ is sufficient for you to successfully withstand all of it without exception. Your union with Christ overcomes all of Satan's schemes. God has equipped His church. He has equipped you and me individually with such holy weapons of warfare that we're ready for whatever the battle may be. We don't have to be afraid of the future. We don't have to anticipate what's going to happen 5 years down the road. It'll probably be difficult. It'll probably shock our conscience. But you know what? Whatever it is, the same resources that have defended us from the past until today are going to be sufficient to defend us going forward as well. And so, if we are entering difficult days to be a Christian, and it seems that we are, beloved, don't shrink back. Even if you're entering difficult days in your personal life, changes ahead, disappointments, discouragements, sudden loss, don't be afraid. Don't say it's too much, because that's not true. What God has given you is sufficient for all the flaming arrows of the evil one. If you want to think about it politically, beloved, just apply it in this realm? I'm controlling myself here. Our shield has never been the United States Constitution. That which protects us was never the First Amendment. It was never based on a human document. No matter how we might have been taught to respect that document in times gone by. Beloved, we were never, ever going to put out demonic fires of unrighteousness with the squirt guns of politics. Our forefathers, our prior generation in the faith that tried to do that did us a great disservice, conditioning us to think in that way, to try to fight spiritual battles with political weapons. That was never going to work because human weapons are not sufficient against spiritual foes. And our struggle, Scripture says, verse 12, not against flesh and blood, it's against the spiritual forces of wickedness. If the current age in which we live has done anything for us, it's done this to us as a favor. It's clarified for us exactly where our strength lies. It's only when God takes away any hope of political or military deliverance that we finally start to look to Him for the sufficiency of the resources that He's given us. And we realize that by comparison, this political stuff was hay, straw, and stubble destined to be consumed in the fire. Whereas in the righteousness of Christ, the revelation of God and our reconciliation to Him, we have pure gold, not subject to diminishment. And so, beloved, you, as an individual Christian, we as the body of Christ in the 21st century, we're ready for a call to battle. We're ready for a call to valor. We're ready to meet this opposition, this unseen difficulty, these unseen forces of wickedness arrayed against our spiritual well-being. We're ready. We're prepared. James Montgomery Boyce says this. He says, when God says that He is able to keep us from falling and present us before His presence with exceeding joy, He means exactly that, and He will do it. We do not need to fear when we advance into battle. God will go with us and will bring victory. That's our position as Christians. That's what it's like to be a soldier in the army of Christ. Beloved, God has given us these things, but you have to take up the shield of faith and use it. The question is whether you will. For those of you who are not Christians, take this occasion to come to Christ and trust in His blood atonement for sinners. My unsaved friend, you cannot continue in this world. That is to seal your own destruction. Scripture says you must be saved from this perverse generation. Leave the world behind and come to Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the truth, the righteousness, and the peace which You have given. We take these things up, as it were, by affirming our confidence in them. We accept the responsibility to be strong in them and to not cave in to doubt or fear. We thank You, Father, that You've made us completely sufficient for a completely difficult battle, that in Christ we are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, from whatever direction they may come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And so Pastor Don Green concludes his message, Strong in Faith. But there's still more to come in our current series, Strong for the Battle. So be sure to join us right here on the Truth Pulpit as we learn how to fully appropriate the full armor of God. But right now, Don's back here in studio with a special invitation.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
For directions and service times, just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also get ordering information on free CDs of Don's teaching. Again, that's all at thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.